This is a global pandemic. This is something the United States wants to work with every country, including China, to figure out how to resolve to keep as many people alive.
Global leaders meet online to discuss the coronavirus pandemic. It's Friday, March 27th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, India locks down to prevent viral spread. Foreign students in the United States adjust to isolation. Telework is the new normal for many. Movies are more popular than ever, just not in theaters. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In an unprecedented video conference of G7 foreign ministers, global leaders are pledging to work together to battle the coronavirus outbreak. The United States says it is ready to work with China to end the global pandemic and restore the world economy. But as VOA's State Department correspondent Nike Ching reports, some analysts are skeptical about the ability of both countries to cooperate to fight the global pandemic.
Streets and popular landmarks across the world are empty due to restrictions amid the COVID-19 outbreak. Outside China, Italy, the United States and Germany are among the G7 nations that are hardest hit by the deadly virus. In a Wednesday video conference, foreign ministers of the G7 pledged to cooperate to fight the global pandemic, with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo noting Washington's willingness to work with Beijing.
This is a global pandemic. This is something the United States wants to work with every country, including China, to figure out how to resolve to keep as many people alive, as many people as healthy, and then to restore our economies that have been decimated by the Wuhan virus.
As China has worked to tamp the spread of coronavirus within its own borders, it has also shipped out medical supplies to countries like Italy, a move seen as trying to supplant the U.S. as the global power. U.S.-China relations were already on the decline long before the pandemic. Analysts say the worldwide crisis has only worsened ties. National University of Singapore's Drew Thompson spoke to VOA via Skype.
The threats to embargo the export of medical equipment from China to the U.S., including protective gear, and the war of words between government officials about the national origins of the virus indicates that we probably have not yet found the floor of the bilateral relationship, and tensions are probably going to continue and potentially even get worse.
While the G7 foreign ministers did not issue a joint statement, in part due to the reported difference on referring the coronavirus as Wuhan virus, members vowed to act together to pursue a vaccine, bring home citizens stranded abroad, and safeguard the global economy. Nike Ching, VOA News, State Department.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as Instagram and YouTube. Also stop by the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. The United States says it's ready to work with China on coronavirus. China rebukes Pompeo for Wuhan virus comment. Islamic State claims Afghanistan Sikh temple attack that killed at least 25. COVID-19 diaries. Life gets harder for world's most vulnerable people. U.S. cybersecurity experts see recent spike in Chinese digital espionage. Find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi announced the world's largest lockdown, warning that anyone going outside risked inviting the coronavirus into their homes. India's 21-day stay-at-home order puts nearly one-fifth of the world's population under lockdown. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo has more.
Streets across India are empty as country's 1.3 billion people are ordered to stay indoors. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi says the three-week lockdown is necessary to control the coronavirus outbreak.
To save India and every Indian citizen, to save you and your family, a complete ban is being implemented on any movement of people outside their homes, starting at midnight tonight.
Epidemiologist Jennifer Nuzzo says while social distancing is important, so is increased testing and contact tracing.
The WHO has also said that while social distancing measures are important, they are alone not a strategy for managing this pandemic.
On India's streets, not everyone is unhappy about the decision.
This time is for introspection because people would realize what is the black swan. What is unpredictable thing can happen to their life. So maybe something good come out in entirely.
But others recognize the hardships some, especially the poor, will face.
People who are normal and are fit or make okay money, like me, we will get by and earn a living. But others who are poor and are dependent on their daily wage for their daily bread, how will they get by?
Police have been deployed to help enforce the lockdown. Those disobeying the new rules face prison time and a stiff fine. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Are my pets safe from coronavirus? There's no current evidence that cats and dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, leaders of the world's most powerful economies convene virtually to try and coordinate response to the fast-spreading coronavirus, which has shuttered businesses and forced well over a quarter of the world's population into home isolation. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. With more and more means of transportation curtailed or shutting down, many students have found themselves stranded at their U.S. schools and universities. Some 1,000 foreign students, many from Asia, attend the University of Delaware. Of those, an estimated 90% remain in the state of Delaware. VOA Asia's Ira Melman spoke with Dr. Scott Stevens, who heads the English Language Institute at the university, and asked him where these students are staying and studying while school is closed.
The students are with homestay families. They're in a place we call the global community, where there's three internationals and one American to an apartment, and a couple dozen in the dormitories. And they're the only students in the dormitories, except for, well, a few other Americans that were stranded. So we were able to launch our classes remotely. So far, so good. And then we've been trying also to maintain sort of a culture life, because it's, you know, when universities close and send students to sort of, you know, isolate themselves at home, it's not just for the physical health of the students that you're protecting, but you want to protect their mental health, and mental health requires some human interaction. So we've been trying to offer some of our cultural programming remotely as well. We're going to be having a cooking class and an exercise program. We're going to have sort of a sing-along karaoke. We're going to have some games and contests and a few other things.
Isn't this putting these people too close together with the pandemic going on?
Well, the recommendation is, no more than a few in one place. So, for example, a typical student is in a fairly spacious four-bedroom, four-bath apartment, and so there'll be four individuals, three internationals and one American. And so, if they practice some measure of social distancing, they should be fine. And especially if they're not infected, then, you know, they're not going to infect each other. But then we discourage them from, you know, getting three apartments and having a big party, for example.
Which might be difficult to do at times, I take it, right?
Yes, although we find that their parents are keeping a pretty good tab on them and calling them and reminding them to not get too close and to stay out of large groups. So, as you know, part of the challenge is that young individuals think they're indestructible and this thing only happens to older people. But I think you know, the message is getting across that it's often young people who may not feel the full effect of the virus, but they can be carriers.
How are these students doing psychologically? How are they dealing with the situation they're in?
Well, you know, initially there was some concerns and maybe sort of modest panic. You know, first you have one case. For many weeks we were saying, well, Delaware doesn't have any instances. And then we had one case, and then it was only a matter of days that there were multiple cases. And so we've done our best to combat that with simple information. So we've held town halls with students, excuse me, to let them know the facts, and to, you know, and to remind them that the safest thing is not to try to get home and go through, you know, an airport with thousands of people in it and risk contracting the virus and then going home and spreading that to their loved ones or facing quarantine for 2 weeks. But in fact, to stay put, and to follow the precautions we've been repeating.
Dr. Scott Stevens heads the English Language Institute at the University of Delaware. He was speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. Coming up, the abrupt transition to telework. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. More than a year after 51 worshippers at two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand were gunned down, the man accused of carrying out the massacre has unexpectedly pleaded guilty to the crime. Brenton Tarrant is charged with 51 counts of murder, 40 charges of attempted murder, and one charge of terrorism. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced many office workers to do their jobs from home, and they're using technology like never before to stay connected to their colleagues and get their work done. But getting remote teams functioning is not like flipping a switch. Michelle Quinn uses her technology to tell us more.
San Francisco is empty now. Workers who can are staying home to avoid the coronavirus after a government edict basically closed down the city. But there's a lot of technology to keep them on the job. At Range, a software company that makes tools to help teams communicate, employees are trying to make the shift to remote work. But they face challenges, says co-founder Braden Cowitz.
When people work from home is that they tend to get disconnected, both from a communication standpoint and from a cultural standpoint.
To help, employees at Range have started daily check-ins so everyone knows each other's plans. They add emojis to express how they are feeling. And they have lunch together over video chat. Jennifer Dennard is another Range founder who has studied teams.
So one of our learnings is that it's really helpful to pair work next to things that are about having you feel like a human and be a person.
And there is the problem many workers are facing. When it comes to video meetings, how do you decide who goes first? Range has figured out a way.
And so we actually have a spinner. Looks kind of like a Ferris wheel where it goes between different people. It also helps level the playing field so that if everyone has a turn to speak or to add an item to your meeting agenda, it's not just whoever speaks the loudest or whoever's Wi-Fi is the strongest, as can be the case when we're all working remote.
It's tech tricks and tools like Ranges that are helping people figure out a way to keep work operational during the pandemic. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
Now on VOA Asia, the coronavirus pandemic has shut down movie theaters and caused movie releases to be postponed in the United States and China, the two largest film markets in the world. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has details on how the pandemic is affecting moviegoers and movie producers in both countries.
The movie audience in China is the fastest growing in the world, and Hollywood wants a piece of it.
Hollywood studios are increasingly making their films for the consideration of the Chinese market.
One such film, Mulan, with Chinese actors, was a movie Disney had hoped would make a big splash in China. But the coronavirus outbreak put the movie's premiere in China and the U.S. on hold. The shutting down of theaters and productions in both countries will have far-reaching economic implications, say experts.
China's and the U.S. film industries are very closely entwined. What we're seeing is an increase in Chinese investment in Hollywood studio films. So companies you may have heard of, like Alibaba or Tencent, are actually investing in films.
Such as Top Gun Maverick with Tom Cruise. But film experts expect things to change.
Following the economic numbers in China, I think we'll definitely see a pullback of outbound capital investment from the Chinese government. So on one hand, that will likely limit Chinese investment in Hollywood.
Some studios in both countries are looking to streaming as an alternative to the big screen during the pandemic. China's Wanxi Media is making this tentpole movie, Lost in Russia, online for free. One more time. Universal will release Trolls World Tour to video on demand. Universal is also making movies that were in theaters, such as Invisible Man, available for rent on streaming services. But there are pitfalls.
It's not sustainable over the long term to do that. It's not good for the theaters, and it's not good for the studios either, because theatrical is really where the money has been.
Yet, if theaters are closed for a long time because of coronavirus fears, consumer behavior may change.
Will people actually go back to movie theaters? We've already seen an overall softening of movie theater attendance because there are so many in-home entertainment options. My sense is that we may be seeing an overarching shift in certain consumer behaviors.
I've looked at surveys posted on the Chinese internet, some large-scale surveys of thousands of people in 70 different cities, and over 50% say they're reluctant to go back to the theaters. It's a wake-up call, and I think it will accelerate the importance of streaming.
What this means to the bottom line of film industries in China and the U.S. will depend on how long life is put to a screeching halt and what the new normal will look like after the pandemic. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Fortitude Ranch is a survival community operating out of two separate compounds, one in West Virginia, another in Colorado, and it's equipped to survive a catastrophic event that could wipe out a significant amount of population, as well as a long-term loss of law and order. As COVID-19 is gripping the world, the subscribers to the ranch have increased exponentially. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke with the general manager of the community, Dr. Drew Miller.
The survival community of Fortitude Ranch is operating out of two locations. One is in rural Colorado, the other in West Virginia. Drew Miller, the general manager of the ranch, says for a $1,000 subscription per person, members and their families can get permanent shelter inside the wall perimeter of the compound and have access to stockpiles of food and other supplies in the event of a societal meltdown.
Fortitude Ranch was formed because it's very hard to do that on your own.
Miller says in a doomsday scenario, people are going to run out of food and water in urban and suburban areas.
You can't run water systems in a city without electric pumps. There's no water supply. Imagine living in a city or a suburb where there's no electric grid functioning and there's no water now flowing.
The compounds are built near national forests where there are rivers for water and fishing and game to hunt. Inside, residents can grow vegetables and raise livestock. How long they can hold out?
We guarantee our members that we've got enough supplies and ability to operate for at least a year. But again, we can go beyond that.
They also have large stockpiles of ammunition.
Over time, marauding groups, gangs, other people are going to form up, go out stealing food and potentially killing people. You need guns, you need ammo, and then you need to have a lot of guards on duty, especially at night.
He says in times of peace and order, the compound operates as a vacation ranch where visitors hunt, fish, and hike. But during trying times, all the members will take turns performing duties and guarding the compound perimeter, cooking, taking care of the sick.
We have a clinic where our doctors and nurses are assigned.
However, there are skeptics who believe that no survival camp has unlimited resources to keep people alive and safe indefinitely in a doomsday scenario.
But eventually, I see they have like a year's worth of food. I don't know how many people are signed up for their group, but there could be people in there that start to take the stuff or hoard the stuff or take more than their share. And when things get low, fights can break out. The leaders have the weapons. Other people might bring in weapons or have their own. Things could quickly devolve.
However, Fortitude Ranch member Kiki Bandila says having access to Fortitude Ranch in times of necessity beats the alternative, which is having nowhere to turn to.
For me, it's kind of one of those things that I find is fascinating, and it's really nice to have in sort of my portfolio, the just in case.
Colonel Miller says with the outbreak of COVID-19, the requests for subscriptions to the ranch have soared. He believes this is not the highly lethal virus that will lead to societal collapse. But he says COVID-19 is a wake-up call to impending deadly pandemics, bioterrorism, or nuclear disaster that could wreak havoc globally and have people scrambling for shelter. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
From alcohol distillers brewing hand sanitizer to car manufacturers assembling protective wear, companies around the world have been joining the effort to combat the spread of the novel coronavirus. A fashion production house in Italy recently went from fancy pants to fancy masks. VOA's Arash Arabasadi looks at the so far absolutely fabulous results.
The Moda Impressive factory in Miranda, Italy, usually sews together high fashion fabrics. These days, their operation joins the global effort against the novel coronavirus.
10 days ago, we found ourselves at a crossroads. What to do in the coming weeks? Close shop and have everyone get unemployment benefits or invent something that would allow us to move forward? That's when the idea of face masks came to be.
Moda Impressa's CEO, Romolo D'Orazio, made the switch from fashionable clothes to masks after speaking with a friend who manages a clinic.
He showed me the need for face masks. We worked 3 or 4 days to create a prototype. He tested it, and last week we updated a new design.
D'Orazio's friend, Enzo Di Luoso, says the idea came just in time.
Last night, the Civil Protection Department didn't have masks to distribute in this region. It's a good thing we created, and Moda Impressa prepared this batch of masks. This situation will go on for several months, and masks are a necessity for the entire industry.
D'Orazio says he's proud to help the community and happy to have saved jobs in the process. The company now makes 300 to 400 masks a day. Italy reports at least 74,000 cases of coronavirus and at least 7,500 deaths. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. See us on YouTube. You can find us at voanews.com. We thank you for joining us today. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team that includes Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe and be well.